Docket counsel, if the hearing's over.
Well, they had apartments. They were living.
Okay. Okay.
Well, no, that was how they had the room.
Okay, we'll go ahead and bring to order the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for Tuesday, April 11th, 2023. We'll start with roll call.
Chairman Lee Young.
Present.
Vice Chairman Dana Hennis.
Present.
Commissioner Jeannie Greger.
Present.
Commissioner Jim Mann.
Present.
Okay. Oh, you did pay the bill.
And so the first item up is our consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then, first up under public hearings, this was continued from March 28th, 2023, and it is case number 22-14-AN. Annexation for Quito U of I endowment. And as soon as Troy comes back, we'll let him start. And we already introduced the case while you were out there, so you're on. I did that on purpose.
It doesn't surprise me. Commissioners, thank you very much. Troy Buchanan, Senior Planner. CUNA Planning and Zoning Department here in CUNA, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. If I'm not mistaken, this is for the Guido, right? The continuation?
Correct.
So at the last meeting, the commission wanted to, they requested that the applicant entertain a limit to the high density zoning that was being proposed. And the applicant and the their representative have spoken. I believe that is the first exhibit after the staff memo. They have proposed they are acceptable or amenable to a limit of how many units per acre could be allowed if it's proposed and accepted by the city council. They are also requesting that the density be taken off of the gross rather than the net, unless I've misspoken that. Maybe Dave Crawford could clarify, but they have complied with what the commission has requested, and that is in your packet. And I'll sit for any questions that you have.
Okay. Any questions for Troy?
No.
No, not right now.
Okay. Then we'll go ahead. Applicant, please come forward. State your name and address for the record. And just so for everybody, as far as the public hearings go, the applicant has 10 minutes to state their proposal. People wishing to testify will each have 3 minutes to speak their piece and let us know what your thoughts are. And then after that, the applicant will have 10 minutes to come back and address concerns and comments. So with that being said.
Chairman, commissioners, my name is David Crawford with Centurion Engineers, 5505, West Franklin Road. I'm here representing the Guidos tonight on an application to annex and rezone their lands. We talked about a lot of this last time, but I just want to reemphasize that this is for endowment lands of 53 acres to the University of Idaho. And one of the things that they expressed certainly last time was wanting to give the university room to grow and do what they needed to do. We do know that the lands that are included within this annexation for the R20 zone and the commercial zone that we proposed would definitely support university students that would attend the lands where they would study life sciences and agricultural things. So I'm not really familiar what that would entail, obviously, but that's what the endowment lands are for. Many times when I've worked on developments for a really long time, what I've seen with these lands is typically get sold to a developer and we cut it up into single family homes or apartments or commercial or whatever the zoning would allow. So we see something quite different here and an opportunity to bring the University of Idaho here to do something good for the future of the students. And I certainly think Joe did a great job talking about that last time. We certainly understand that R20 zones, you know, they reek of density. And out here in CUNA, we're used to larger tracts of land. But the comprehensive plan really sets the goals for what CUNA sees in the future. It's not today, it's not 2 years, but it looks forward in time as long as it can. And so when we come in with an application, with pre-application meetings, looking at what to do with the ground, we certainly have to go with what the comprehensive plan states. So in this particular area, the comprehensive plan is noted as mixed use, and that would be for a number of things, including agriculture lands. And what the Guidos are really doing is looking forward to say, hey, there's going to be university students here. They're not three-bedroom apartments. You know, they're studios or dorm housing or things like that. So the R20 was really in an effort to support that type of redevelopment or support for the University of Idaho's needs. Now, after our last hearing, we certainly got together and talked about it. And, you know, we certainly agree that we could cap the net density to 16 units to the acre if that's something you'd prefer. But I'm here making a plea in an effort to assist the Guidos to accomplish their goals for their lands at this time. I don't think that R20 is totally out of the picture, but we'd certainly go down to the R16 if that's something the commission really wanted to support. The one thing that we did want to talk about was, you know, we have some existing neighbors on the west side with large one-acre lots. And the one good thing that's occurring here, it doesn't really necessarily affect the traffic at the intersections and things, but they are buffered by a 53-acre piece of land that can never be sold. And it'll belong to the University of Idaho in perpetuity. So we think we brought forward a proposal that would allow the endowment lands to be given to the University of Idaho and set up zones where the support would be there to support the students that would come to the University of Idaho. So with that, I'll stand for any questions you may have.
Any questions at that side?
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
Okay. And with that, we'll open up the public testimony. And on first in the column listed in favor to testify, I've got Catherine Guido. Please come. You're part of his 10 minutes, as well as the applicant, or?
3 minutes.
Three.
Yeah.
Okay.
My name is Catherine Guido. I live at 7744 Bellaterra Lane, Meridian, Idaho, 83642. I was going to read a letter for the benefit of all of my neighbors that are here. But since I'm being cut short, I'm not going to have time to read that letter. The commissioners did receive it in the packet last time. It took a while to digest all of the remarks made at the last public hearing, and we were actually caught by surprise and thought that many of our neighbors would be supportive. We took the time to share our vision with some of them and personally introduced Dean Perella and President Green from the University of Idaho to them. We were proud of our plan, and it reinforced our position with comments from our neighbors like, "You've always been a good neighbor. I applaud you. Wow, that's fantastic." And Joe got quite a few pats on the back. It's only human to protect your territory. People don't like change, but I don't think we should be afraid of it. We must plan for the future. We're not requesting a development that will impact any of our neighbors immediately, maybe not even in their lifetime. How many years ago did the city put together the comprehensive plan? Well, I've used that tool to build our blueprint. I really don't remember hearing any opposition to the portion of land dedicated to the U of I. It was more directed at the City of CUNA's comprehensive plan, the commercial and the high-density zoning. The development process is the next phase of this plan. That process is a rigid course of action that will determine what this plan looks like before it ever becomes brick and mortar. Today, I think we all need to step into the DeLorean with Marty Fly and Dr. Emmett Brown and take a serious look at the past and the future. Looking back, the population in Idaho in Ada County was 150,000 in 1980. Today it's about 300,000. And by the year 2060, it will be about 550,000. The only way we know how to plan for the future is by looking back. The numbers don't lie. Our short-term plan for the farm is to plant corn this year and to plant peppermint in the years to follow. Peppermint is normally a three-year crop. We're not asking for a change of the use of our farm, simply an annexation. The city has made it mandatory to establish a zone with annexation. Mixed use is what the comprehensive plan depicts. I believe our plan fits perfectly into that map. R20, C2, okay. And egg. Is that?
That was the beeper. Thank you very much.
Can I have one more last note?
If I do, then I'm going to have to do the same thing for 25 people after you. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your comments. Okay, and then next I have listed Joseph Guido. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I do, but I'll defer to last.
Okay. Then I have listed in opposition and also marked to testify Neil Durant. like to just state your name and address for the record, please.
Yep. Neil Durant. I live at 4000 West Hubbard Road in CUNA, but here to testify against this property, which is just directly to the west of our family's farm, Big D Ranch at 7590 South 10 Mile Road. I'd like to just talk a little bit first about the zoning of the agriculture district, which I believe we fall in within our property. And it's the agriculture district refers to land engaged for farming, dairying, pasture, agriculture, horticulture, floriculture, animal and poultry husbandry, and accompanying accessories used for packing, treating, and storing produce. And then it says earlier in that the district has been established to preserve, protect, and assure the continued viability of agriculture lands within the city and the area of impact. The district has been established to lessen the encroachment of urban-type development into agriculture areas whose presence would interfere with agriculture pursuits. And so that really ties into where we're at. We're directly involved in agriculture on our lands there. But then we have a unique position also on our property. You'd call it commercial, but I believe it falls more underneath the industrial, where we store and package grain for many of the farmers around, and we ship it up to Portland and involved in that. And on your industry, on the M2, which talks about, it says the district, well, it says businesses located in the district may produce objectionable noise, odor, dust. And that is something that we produce on a daily basis. At times of the years, it is certainly a lot worse. During our harvest times, we have over 200 trucks that come in a day. We're averaging well over 3,000 semi-trucks a year coming in through our facility. And so it is a heavily used industrial area going through that way. And when you look at that right across the street where they're talking to bring in some R20 development, I don't feel that is a very good use. And that is where we're standing in opposition. We are not opposed to what the Guidos are doing. We just want something that is going to mesh with us and not cause concern. And that's where we differ, where we believe that putting R20 right across the street from us will affect our business, will affect what we're doing in the agriculture and also on the industry side. And then also going through the packet, we found in 8.4 that the availability of existing proposed public services and streets can accommodate the proposed development is what the staff said. But then right below that, Public Works states that Public Works currently does not have sewer capacity or sewer infrastructure in place to support approval of this product. So to me, both of those contradict what they're saying. Right above it, the staff is saying, yes, we approve it. It doesn't have a problem. Right below it, they're saying there is a problem and it can't support it. And then in 8.6, the proposed project does consider health and safety of the public and surrounding areas environment. What study have they done from what dust comes from us? You know, you're talking about R20. You're talking about, you know, these 20 dwellings per acre right across the street from us. What is the dust going to do? Who's going to take care of those phone calls when those start coming in? I guess that's my time. I had two other short comments, but I will leave that there. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And next, it's not marked. I can't talk today. Whether to or not to testify, Robert Kamzik. If you could.
Yeah, I'm Robert Kamchick, and we live at 7624 South Old Farm Lane. I just want some clarification. The engineer made a comment about the ag portion, the 53 acres, that it can never be built on. Is there a clarification in the proposal that the College of Idaho later down the line will not build on that or not sell it? Or, I mean, what's the clarification on that?
Okay, I'm sure he can respond to that.
Pretty much my question. Yeah.
Okay.
The land can never be sold, but they're certainly going to build a campus. Not on the ag portion.
Let's see. Then next I have listed Danielle, and then, yes.
Chairman, commissioners, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Danielle Horace, 711 East Porter, CUNA. I'm the Director of Strategic Partnerships for CUNA School District, and I'm also a really proud Vandal, so I want to start by saying thank you for the donation to the university. It's a great step in the right direction, and it shows a great level of future thinking. I am signed in to speak in opposition, and the reason for that is there's nobody under the age of 18 here, and so I'm speaking on behalf of 40% of CUNA residents, which is our children. That's a really high percentage of residents to be under 18. And as you know, the CUNA school district bond did not pass. And sadly, we're full. Right now, if we stay on the same path that we're on, in 10 years, we'll have 2,700 CUNA students without a bus to pick them up, a classroom to go to, a desk to sit in, or a teacher to teach them. So you're going to hear very similar things from me tonight, which is we cannot serve. At this time, CUNA School District is at capacity, and I understand that this growth that is proposed is for University of Idaho students, and I know that they bring kids, and I want every student to have a place to learn. So for those reasons, I'm speaking in opposition, and again, CUNA School District cannot serve. Thank you.
Thank you. Then next I have listed David Coleman. You just state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening. My name is David Coleman. I live at, my wife and I, Beverly, live at 7578 South Old Farm Lane in Meridian. Firstly, I would recommend that postponing any decision on this proposal until the vicinity map is updated and published and distributed to the neighbors that will be affected by it. We have the original notice that was put out, and many of us haven't had the opportunities to see the changes that were made and in the packet. Even tonight, it was mentioned by the engineering group that, we'll acquiesce to your changes, but we'd kind of like 20, but we'd go down to 15. It's not nailed down. So I think we'd like to see that in publicized so that the neighborhood can get familiar with what the changes are and have some informed comments. Secondly, you may not know, but there is a septic system that resides on the land that will be part of the university. That system supports the 19 families that are on Old Farm Lane, and we're concerned about what will occur in the future. Will we have access, be able to have sustained access to those facilities so that we can maintain our sewer services and such? And also the head gate for our irrigation water is on that land adjacent almost to the septic tank too. So we want some assurances that moving forward that we'll be able to have septic and water. And we haven't seen any of that addressed. And thirdly, the high density residential. Again, it was touched on earlier about whether it is in fact going to be R20, is it going to be 15, is it going to be 12? earlier there was some discussion last time about whether it will be two-story or three-story, and it was quickly dismissed that it couldn't be three-story because of the limitations of height within the county of the county and the city of 40 feet a max. Well, I referred to the Google Institute of Architecture and found many articles saying that, in fact, with a 40-foot limit, you could have three stories. Most of them come in at about 33 feet, to less than 33, so you've got that wiggle room there. So again, if only they're able to use 75% of the land and 25 will be parking lots and green belts and stuff, the only way to really maximize use of that would be to go up. And again, some discussion was given about that this is going to be housing for the university. There's nothing set in stone that says it will be, and we're concerned about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And next I have listed Beverly.
No.
No? Then, again, this is not marked whether to or not to testify. Jerry Meyer Peter?
My name is Steve Meyer Peter. I'm married to Jerry. We live at 7693 South Old Farm Lane, Meridian, Idaho. I'd like to address the R20 versus R12 issue. When I was in college, I could afford an apartment only with three other roommates. And I don't think there's many college students that can afford a studio or a one-bedroom apartment on their own. However, if it was an R12 designation, I believe that that would support apartments with two bedrooms, two larger bedrooms, and it would support a group of four students renting that apartment in an affordable way. And so I think the idea of having student housing there is good. I don't think that the R20 or even R16 would support something that students can afford. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And then I'll bounce back. Jerry, you did not. Did you want to or not to testify?
I think you spoke and said what I was going to suggest, but I forgot last time.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And that's all I had listed to testify when the sheet was brought in. Is there anybody here that is not signed in that wanted to testify that is not on this list or is not spoken for this? Yes? I mean, did you want to come forward?
Yes, please.
Okay, then I'll have Troy, if you would do that, and then Joe, we'll come right back to you as well.
If you could come up and sign in for us.
Okay.
I think Troy's getting a clean sheet, or maybe not.
I don't know what Troy's doing.
Yeah.
Just add just below
right your name there. And address.
Thank you. All right, thank you. And then if you would just state your name and address for the record, please.
Melissa Durant, 4000 West Hubbard and Cuna, but I'm here representing the family farm that would be directly east of this property. So other concerns other than my husband stated is it has been brought up we're going to switch from R20 to R16. There is no R16 in Cuna City Code. So that means we have no idea what would even be coming, and they're creating their own designation, which we know that is not the way planning and zoning is very by the book. This is how. So we don't agree, and you look at it, so then with what they're wanting, they're saying they're due R16. In reality, it's going to be R20. Another concern that we have is the fact that when you research out endowment lands for U of I, 90% of those endowment lands right now that have been donated currently have no buildings, no infrastructure, nothing on it. So this, putting this into such a high density in that is really putting the cart before the horse, because there is no guarantee that it will ever be there with 90% currently not being in and trying to put it in a designation that is currently not in code. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and then last I have listed on to testify is Joseph Guido.
My name is Joseph Guido, reside at 7744 Belaterra Lane, Meridian. Prior to placing and paying for our annexation and rezone, we studied the 118-page comprehensive plan. We are 100% in compliance with this plan. We did not ask for any variances. There's nothing in between R12 and R20. That means that if somebody wanted to put an R13, they can't because you're hamstrung with a R12. There were a lot of concerns regarding the R20. So we attain, let's say that we attain an R20. There is a 0% chance that that would ever be a number given circulation and parking. More than likely, you're only going to get probably 75, 76% of that. You have a height restriction of 40 feet. These are already in place, not by us, but by the city. The final number, given circulation and parking, is within a development agreement. We're not asking for a development agreement. Within a development agreement, they're going to come in with the circulation, the parking, the asphalt, the sidewalks, curbs, and gutters, and they're going to show you exactly what they're going to have. They can come in with R14. I have no idea. The development agreement is the forum for this, not an annexation and a rezone. And when there is a development agreement, then everybody that's here tonight can come back and talk with the developers that develop the agreement that they present to you. So if they, however, placing the limitations, I think that the future development agreement, like I said, should be at that time, not at this particular forum. Several years ago, I had a really nice conversation with Rob Marino of the CUNA School District. I hosted him at my home. We talked for a long, long time and had an extensive conversation regarding education. He thought that the CUNA School District was okay with their K through 12. They would just build as necessary. However, he did indicate that what was lacking was higher education. This higher education is what we want to achieve. Also, understanding that higher education requires infrastructure. You cannot have one without the other, as some would prefer. Our application is to ensure that 50% of the equation is met. I would like to draw your attention to something that I think is...
Joe, the timer's going off, so we're going to have to... stop at 3 minutes on that.
I'm the applicant. I got 10 minutes.
I tell you what,
I
understand. Let me finish, please. Your 3 minutes as the sign up here is up. However, yes, as the applicant, when he comes back to rebut, has that, and I haven't closed out this part yet. So, yes, you will have a few more minutes as the applicant with your representative to continue.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Just a part of how the open and close in the process works. I appreciate your passion, all of you. So with that, and nobody else signed in to testify for or against, we'll have the applicant come back. And if you would address some of the concerns and save if there's any time left for Mr. Guido as well.
Well, I think I better make time. Excuse me. David Crawford, Centurion Engineers, 5505 West Franklin Road. I'll try and get through these really quickly. We heard a lot of discussion tonight from some of the neighbors. I certainly understand their concern, particularly with the agricultural lands that are in operation across the street with the Durant properties and some others. The good thing about this is that Idaho Code has the Right to Farm Act. So they can't become a nuisance to new development. So it's illegal in Idaho for them to be a nuisance to development. So if, you know, we all take risks in where we move and we hopefully make informed, educated decisions when we do that. So when people move into these areas, you know, they'll have to take a look at what's going on around them. There was a question about, can things be built on agricultural lands that are designated as agricultural lands?
And the answer to that question is typically yes. Accessory structures that are be related for that. But the one thing that we don't, the one thing we do know is the lands can't be sold down the road to be redeveloped into more high density or residential homes. The one thing that we also know that should answer a couple other questions is that what we're proposing tonight is again, is a rezone and an annexation. So any development plans that come forward in the future have to be run through the city of CUNA, through the design review application process. Particularly in higher density zones, the architectural designs are always looked at, landscaping, accessibilities, and as we all know, the standards for those things always increase in time. So we know what it would look like today, but we don't know necessarily everything that it would look like in the future. But I've never seen a regulatory body reduce the amount of improvements that are required. So I think that what we've provided for is a development opportunity to support what we hope to have the University of Idaho come in and offer students the education that they need. So a couple other things I'll get through pretty quickly. The septic system that exists that services Iron Horse Subdivision along with irrigation water is always required to be maintained. For example, the Iron Horse Subdivision plat has an easement for that to for their septic system, and so it can't be infringed on. The Idaho Code and along with CUNA City Code requires that any irrigation waters that have to be continued through the land to downstream users, and that includes drainage ditches. I was unaware that you could get a three-story building and a 40-foot height restriction. I've never seen one. I've worked on several apartment complexes over my time. And then the question becomes high density. What's high density? Well, R12 and R20 are high density. The question becomes one of not that we're creating a new zoning code, but that it was proposed by staff that we could cap the level, restrict the level beyond that noted in code to a level below the R20, which we agreed to. So, and I think that answers a couple questions there. So, correct, R16, it's not necessarily arbitrary. It's one that's been capped, particularly for this project and this development, should you choose to utilize that. What else? Did I miss anything? For that, I'll let Joe or Kathy come back up and talk.
Thank you.
Wanted to go over, do I give you my address again? Joe Sepulveda, 7744 Belaterra Lane, Meridian. I want to talk about something that I don't know that's ever been discussed at a forum like this before, or maybe a lot of people don't know. I would bet that 90% of the people here don't know what I want to talk about here. In 1980, the population of the city of CUNA was 1,743 people. Today, the population is 27,000. That's just in this town. This growth has been during two serious recessions. The growth during the past 40 years is 15 and a half times what it was in 1980. Using these same numbers, in 40 more years, CUNA could have 412,000 people, especially on the south side of the tracks if bridges were developed. Meridian had in 1980, 6,680 people. Today, Meridian boasts a population of 126,000. This represents 19-fold. In 40 years, these numbers could swell to 2.5 million people, putting the entire Treasure Valley, not even including Nampa, Caldwell, Emmett, at over 3 million. The numbers really don't lie, and certainly a myopic viewpoint, ignoring these facts and looking into the future, preferring that time and growth just stay exactly and stops, like we don't want anything to move forward. We want it to just frozen in time. That's detrimental. Mass transit will be upon us. Light rail systems coming down 10 Mile Road will eventually occur. The foresight to understand the near future is paramount to why we have worked to bring higher education to our locale. Many of us here tonight will not be alive in 40 years or 70 years. However, there should never be any no-fly zones that prevent positive growth. Any questions?
Any questions for
not
any
of
the applicants at this time?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Then with that, I'll close the public testimony at 6:41, which will bring up our discussion. The applicant, they kind of went back and they've discussed it and agreed to part of our request for capping it. You know, we'd come in as an R20, but would be capped at a density of an R16. And agreed to that. I think that at the intersection of 10 Mile there, and there's a roundabout that's going in, there's 10 Mile Lane. I think I've brought this up before, but 10 Mile is, it's a major corridor coming down from the freeway. And it's been designed with Ada County and us and everybody around to accommodate that as a second major corridor coming into the city from the north. And there's roundabouts planned at each of those intersections with ACHD in the coming years to accommodate that. And those hard corners at Locust Grove and Hubbard and all those others are in the comp plan as being mixed use or commercial on those hard corners, because that's where you want the commercial is on those corners, not in the middle of the subdivisions. So with that, with what their revised proposal is, I'm okay with that. I think that having endowment lands within the city would be an awesome opportunity for future education of local people. I think that's a wonderful thing, but those are just some of my initial thoughts. I can follow up with some more if need be. But I don't know who else.
I agree with that. I think the thing to remember here, and there's been a lot of good information here, is that currently we're looking at an annexation and a rezone. And a lot of the concerns and questions will come up down the road as it progresses, if it progresses, when it progresses. The applicant has addressed our concerns from the last meeting, and I agree 10 Mile is going to change drastically over the next several years.
And I think I'd also like to say we on annexation are just a recommending body to City Council. This whole process begins again with City Council. All your comments will have a chance to be heard there if we go forward with an annexation. Also, if an application comes in for any of the commercial or any of the other, those are other opportunities for everybody to weigh in, see what is going on, and have input in multiple times. Just this is not the end of any process. This is just the beginning of a long journey.
Right, and I think to kind of voice that, as well as a concern of a couple of the speakers, you know, the one thing, even though this does have future design reviews, preliminary plats, everything that has to come back, the one thing that we're trying to do right now, it's not just an annexation, it's a rezone. If we rezone this too high, they're still allowed to do that. So that's why, even though we're trying to do, or they want to do an R20, we don't want to go down an R12. We're trying to find a happy medium to control that so that there is a compromise, yet we're not allowing just it to go forward to a full R20. That is part of this. Even though they would come back with a preliminary plat, if we didn't bring that down to what we have compromised to, then they can still go forward with a full high density. So that's, again, what we're trying to achieve here tonight, is get a comparable project that allows them to do what they want with their lands, as well as what some of the neighbors are concerned with. So, you know, that's the one thing that we can do here. Again, this is still just a recommending body at this point. There will be further hearings on this with the city council. So just to let everybody know. I think that the Guidos have really tried to work with the city, with the neighbors, with us, to try to come with a good group. I think this is a good use of the space. It really has a nice buffer to Iron Horse subdivision. You know, I think they've really tried to take their concerns, the neighbors' concerns, into account. So I think it's a good solution, at least to get us what we would like to see.
So I have a question for Troy. So when the development comes to us as a preliminary plat, can there? I guess my question would be: can there be another rezone if we don't agree with the 20 as they've come back to us at and say no, we want a 12? Is the development, is that set in stone, or can the developer, let's say 5 years down the road, doesn't develop it, and R20 with R16 works then? But I guess. Is there a possibility of rezone either way?
Commissioners, for the record, Troy Buchanan, Senior Planner, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department. To answer your question directly, there is always a chance of future applications, whether it's a zone up or a zone down. Regardless of what this body recommends to City Council, in the future, if somebody wants to increase or decrease the zone, that opportunity exists. But whatever is approved by City Council, that sticks until it's changed. But in order to change that, they would have to go through this process all over again. There is no development being proposed with this application. This is the first step in potentially multiple steps, but at least a couple. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Troy. Okay. Any other thoughts or
no
comments? Okay.
With that, Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval to the City Council of case number 22-14-AN, annexation for the Guido and U of I endowment lands, with the conditions as outlined in the staff report, and the condition that was presented to have a net density of R16 as a maximum.
I think it was gross density.
That's a per the letter.
Oh.
That's what the letter says, so I'm...
Yes.
Yes, for the record, Troy Buchanan and CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff. That's correct. The letter did state net.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
That's engrosses. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I misread.
Oh, that was it.
That was it. Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
You. So what's the next one on the agenda? The, yeah, I'm going to just pause for about 2 minutes and let people exit if they so wish. Then, oh, maybe I went. Okay. Then the next item on the agenda was also tabled for March 28th, 2023. And it is case number 22-15-AN, annexation for Rising Sun West. And it looks like staff has requested that we table this to a time certain of April 25th.
For the record, Troy Behunin, senior planner, 751 West 4th Street. Yes, that's correct. Staff needs to work out a few things with the applicant and also with Public Works. April 25th, if that works for the commission, then that would be sufficient for staff.
Mr. Chairman, I move we table case number 22-15-AN, annexation for Rising Sun West, to the next planning and zoning meeting of date certain of April 25th, 2023.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Then that brings us to our next item, which is also tabled from March 28th, 2023. It's case numbers 22-AN-S and 22-32-DR, design review for Valor subdivision. So it's back to Troy.
Thank you very much, commissioners. For the record, Troy Behunin, 751 West 4th Street, here in CUNA, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department, senior planner. The case before you this evening, the applications before you this evening request a pre-plat and design review approval in order to subdivide. I'm tongue-tied here. Just to subdivide their property for the Valor West project. The applicant's proposing approximately 26.04 acres or 20.52% of the project as open space, with a gross density proposed to be 3.06 dwelling units per acre, and the net density is proposed at 4.15 dwelling units per acre. Public Works does support the Valor West subdivision development with conditions listed in Section 5 of the engineer's memo. The Planning and Zoning Department agrees with Public Works recommendations. In the application for the design review, the applicant has provided what appears to be a compliant landscape and fencing plan, and it's for the commission to decide this evening. Staff has reviewed the proposed preliminary plat for technical compliance with CUNA City Code. The design review for compliance with Title V and Title VI of City Code, Idaho State Statute 676511, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, and should the Commission recommend approval of the preliminary plat and approve the design review, staff recommends the applicant be subject to the proposed recommended conditions as outlined in the staff report. The applicant is present tonight. He does have a presentation, and I will sit for any questions you might have.
Are there any questions for Troy at this time?
No, I can't think of any.
Okay. Then we'll have a, please come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening, Commission. My name is Mark Tate with the M3 Companies, 1673 Shoreline Drive, Suite 200, Boise, Idaho, 83702. I feel like I should be given like 3 extra minutes every time I talk about Valor because I always see new faces here, so I'm going to go back into the development agreement and the history of the project machine. I recognize some faces, but still want to just kind of go over the project in general for the folks that are new here. And how do I
just click on the field somewhere?
No way. Boy, he really likes to stay on there. Pause the timer. All right, we're back. There we go. So this project was originally brought into CUNA probably about 5 years ago. So we went through a very lengthy process during the annexation, development agreement, zoning of the property. The development agreement is really what outlines the parameters of this project. There's a maximum density of 2,322 units, to be exact, over 1,000 acres, 1,065, I believe. It includes the golf courses, golf club. The development agreement addresses things such as the land uses, utilities, streets, allowing for both public and private streets, city parks, private parks, and we spent many years going through this process. The portion of the property that's in front of you tonight is what I kind of bubbled there in red. So this is actually the zoning map. The corner of the property is zoned commercial. These lighter yellow areas are zoned R12, and the rest is all zoned R6. This is the sort of entitlement summary in the development agreement. There's a bubble map that shows different villages with different densities associated with those. The area that we're talking about tonight, again, is kind of highlighted in this area. A portion of it would fall into kind of this active adult bubbled area. So one of the things that the development agreement does is it does allow for some flexibility in kind of where and how those units are allocated across the property. We know that this is a decade plus long project, and so we did have the foresight to build in some flexibility as far as what the type of product is going to be. For instance, Golf Village A up here says 128 units. That's this area. We've got a preliminary plat and two final plats for that area for 111 units. So there's, you know, 17 units that can be reallocated to another one of these areas. So the development agreement addresses that sort of thing. For those of you that weren't here during that process, I would encourage you to, if you're so inclined, to grab a copy of that. And if you have sleeping problems, I would also encourage you to just crack that bad boy open and take a read on it. It's pretty riveting stuff. So the overall master plan, this is kind of the prettier plan right here. We've actually been through this process on 4 different preliminary plats. This is actually the 5th preliminary plat for the Valor master plan community. Typically, as part of my history and spiel goes into the name Valor and where that comes from, but we won't talk about that tonight. Reveille is the community that you see here. That's A. All of this kind of yellowish area is called Trilogy at Valor, which is a 55 and older community. For some of you, you saw the preliminary and final plat for the club associated with that, which is labeled as C right here. If you've been out there lately, it is actually under construction. That club will be something around $12 million just for the club facility dedicated to the 55 and older portion. We'll have another club up here in the area E related to the golf course and the remainder of the community. Two preliminary plats have been approved for the 55 and older area. We'll have one more coming probably later in this year for the remainder of the Trilogy area. And then what's in front of you tonight is this area K, which also includes a large city park, public park, along with a bunch of private open space. And then this is what we called the Golf Villages up here that was also a preliminary plat that was approved last year. And the first phase of that, actually, we just pre-conned with Public Works last week. So we're moving forward on that. And each of these areas really have a different type of product. So we're developing them simultaneously, not because we want to develop a zillion different lots. It's really a specific buyer profile that we're looking at, a 55 and older, smaller format community. These are golf homes. We have many of the model home complex, which I'll show you, is finished now. Homes under contract starting at 700,000 to multiple houses under contract over $1 million. So it's a very high-end community. We're doing very nice things. That doesn't mean we want every home in here to be, you know, that price point. And so K is still going to be a very nice community, which you'll see, but a little bit more attainable. Still a lot of open space, pathways, that sort of thing. The entry corridor, we're wrapping up landscaping on. This sign is in. We're finishing up some concrete this week and next, and landscaping this last frontage piece will go on in the next couple of weeks. We have built a new nine-hole executive course called the Cadet Course. We had hoped to open it in May. Since we haven't had temperatures to really grow grass yet, that's probably going to be June. We'd like to not have our brand new shiny golf course destroyed without the grass being able to grow back. So super excited about that. The Reveille neighborhood is basically built within that new nine-hole short course that you see there. There's four model homes that you can sort of see over yonder here. You can see the back of the homes are actually finished now. This is maybe 3 or 4 weeks old. Amazing how things move along. But this whole roundabout is complete. The landscaping is going into that after this concrete gets finished here in the next couple of weeks. So I think by May, this whole entry corridor will be landscaped and buttoned up and looking really good. This is the fourth hole on the Cadet course. Nice little, everyone's a par three, so you don't need a lot of golf clubs there. But we've made a ton of progress on the project. We're super thrilled about how it's come out. It's been very well received, even in what's a slowed down market. We're still getting tons of attention and still doing a great job out there. You know, like I said, most of the project is 55 and older, and even these golf course lots, you know, the buyer profile is really a 55 and older buyer. While it's not age restricted, you know, at that price point on golf, that's who we're really seeing out there. So what's in front of you today is this preliminary plat. As I mentioned, there's a large park component to it. That is a park that is planned as a city park. And the development agreement speaks to that. We committed during the approval process to work with the city to build a 10-acre city park where we've worked with the Parks Department on the design and what goes into that. They've been a close part of that. You'll notice a large open space corridor along the western boundary. The reason for that is, and the lack of connectivity, is that's the 55 and older community to the west with private streets and gates. But it did afford us to have a really wonderful trail opportunity in a trail corridor that's really regional in nature. We've got lots of connections from both sides to it. It will be open to the public, connect Cuna Road all the way up to Harrier Drive to the north without interruption, without crossing any streets. It'll be a really nice trail there. We've also got a private neighborhood park with a pool. And the main entry corridor here. Landscape Boulevard, you know, we'll do large entry monuments, a lot of nice feeling. Our renderer, is confused about directions west versus east. So that's just a placeholder. We'll come up with some sort of valor-themed clever name later on. But that's kind of a rendering of what that would look like. The city park in the development agreement, if you're so inclined, section 5.6.8 addresses the city park, and it calls for a 10-acre public park located adjacent to a main public road to include at least three amenities. We've got many more than three in here, and to be designed in consultation with the city of CUNA. Pretty pictures of the park. And I do have a couple requests on conditions. There's two conditions on planning. Condition 9.1A had to do with pedestrian connectivity and basically adding a trail corridor through the middle of all these blocks going north-south. I'm requesting that in lieu of that, that we've got this large trail corridor that's not broken by any streets. They're only 200 feet apart, and that this trail corridor would service the same purpose and be a little bit duplicative to have another one kind of going through the middle of all these blocks here. We've got a lot of east-west connectivity of trails along the, these are all 8-foot trails here, 8-foot pathways here, another pathway through the middle and north-south. So that is one request. The other is condition 9.1C, which asked for at least two street connections. And the reason I'm asking that that condition be removed is due to the fact that these are all private streets and gated. This is all public streets and ACHD. And then last, I do have two other for public works. There's two conditions, conditions 9.5E and 9.5F, they both speak to utility service, particularly sewer. And the reason I'm asking for those to be removed is that we believe they're duplicative with the development agreement that we're covered under how the property and sewer improvements are built. And so a lot of the language that ends up in these conditions, I think, is just boilerplate language, and we do know that we're covered in section 5.225 through 5.228 that require a significant off-site improvement that we've already built. We spent $12 million building off-site sewer lines, a lift station, water lines, a water reservoir, if you've seen it, booster station. So that is all already in, and the development agreement speaks to service and providing for service. So I would respectfully request that those two conditions also be removed, that we should be covered under the development agreement. And they really say a very similar thing, but what I just don't want to get into is two things saying similar things, but they're slightly different, and then we're a little bit in conflict with each other. So that is my request there, and I would be happy to get into any more detail on that that you would like. Thought I would stand for any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions for?
No.
Yeah, not at this time.
Thank you.
I have one. Okay. Is there a restroom facility at the city park that will be included?
Great question, and we are planning on that. Very hard to see, and I will talk to our planner about calling it out separately, but see that little rectangle with the line through it? So that would supposed to be the roof of a restroom building. Okay. So we would like to see a restroom building there, definitely. And the park, the playground, what the city parks department and we've talked about is doing a playground that's really a multi-age accessible playground. So when you design playgrounds, you know, a lot of times you'll just go in and build one for everybody, but you can really build for a lot of different ages, older, younger, and do different play facilities. So that's actually what you see there with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, something like 6 different pieces of equipment. So it would be really a large facility there. And it would have pickleball courts they asked for and sports fields that would be available for, you know, youth soccer, lacrosse, T-ball practice, all those sorts of things. And if you're interested in Raquel Welch's cause of death, then we can investigate that too.
All right, thank you. Okay, then I'll open the public testimony at 7:10. And I guess before I call, is there anybody else here who has not signed in that would like to testify on this application that has not already signed? Okay, seeing none. I have Danielle, please come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening, Chairman, Commissioners, Danielle Horace, 711 East Porter, CUNA, Idaho, CUNA School District. What a pretty subdivision. I look at the playground and I think about the kids that have the school bus that pull up and no school to take them to. So I am here to speak in opposition to this growth as CUNA School District is full. That's all I've got.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And if there's nothing else the applicant would like to do in rebuttal at this point, if
Mark Tate again for the record, and thank you to Danielle, and I do just want to reiterate that we very much understand the position that CUNA School District is in, and that we'd love to see them get funding, and we're going to continue to work with them like we have to try to help make that happen. And at this point, the project has been approved and annexed and zoned, and we're sort of past the point of additional, you know, school conditions. So we're looking more at a procedural approval of did we meet all of the standards at this point. But we appreciate what they're saying, and I think that's all I have, unless you have any other questions for me.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay. With that, we'll close the public testimony at 7:12. And comes back to us again.
I guess one of my first questions would be to staff, to Troy. Do you have, what is your position on the requested removal of conditions?
For the record, Troy Behunin, Senior Planner, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department. The pathway corridor, if the pathway that's provided on the west side of the project, so in between the two different neighborhoods, if it's sufficient in size and the commission feels that that fulfills the connectivity for pedestrians, then staff can support that. And for the stub streets to the west, for whatever reason, I guess my bearings were just wrong. I was under the impression that the streets to the west of this project were public streets, not private streets. And we can support not having that. Okay. ACHD also did not request that. And I remember thinking at the time, that's strange that they didn't request it, because that's also one of their policies, but like I said, we would support that.
Okay, what about the final two with regards to the public works requests? Do you feel that those are duplicative? Big word.
Because
I'm not as familiar with the development agreement, we don't generally see that part. So if it's, do you feel it's adequately covered in the development agreement?
If the city engineer supports it, then there's no reason why we wouldn't support it. That can be conditioned to be worked out between tonight and city council. And if the city engineer agrees, then we would follow that.
Okay. Thank you. Otherwise, I think it's a nice project. I mean, we've seen this before. This is just kind of the detailed version of what we were looking at before. I love the park in there, the amenities that they're giving. Seems like there's a lot of pathways and connectivity between there. I think it's done a nice presentation. I think they've been real generous with their amenities in the past. So I think it's well put together. It's not real dense.
I agree with the pathway on the west side. I think it meets any of the requirements that it has. It's, you know, not just north-south, but it's got, you know, branch that goes to the east as well. That's another approach to the city park and an access for that. I think the landscaping is appropriate for what's proposed. I think the amenities for the park are appropriate, and then also the private pool for the subdivision itself. Any other?
No, I agree with that. I think it's a overall it's a good looking project and it fits well.
Yeah. And again, I think that. I know we're looking at this piece, but it's part of that master plan that we looked at years back, and it's in agreement with. To me, it seems like it's in agreement with what was proposed then and moving forward.
I agree.
And it seems to be following what they're building out there. Currently, seems to be following along with what we've been presented in the past. They've done a nice clean job out there. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think, I mean, it's a great project and it's a quality project and it's what we've looked for in CUNA for the last 20 years. But I do honestly have a huge concern, and all I can do is hope that these people who buy these houses vote yes for a bond so their kids have someplace to go to school.
Yep. Agree with that.
Other thoughts or comments, concerns, questions?
Okay, with that, Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of 22-10-S with the conditions as outlined in the staff report. For the Valor West subdivision, with the additional condition that staff condition 9.1.A be removed and condition 9.1.C be removed, and that the applicant prior to the city council provide a memo from the city engineer that the project is acceptable as outlined in the development agreement.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Think about that. Okay. Also, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-32-DR design review for the Valor West subdivision with the conditions as outlined in the staff report, with the additional condition that staff report condition 9.1.A be removed and condition 9.1.C be removed, and that the applicant attain a memo prior to city council that shows agreement with the development agreement by the city engineer for the services.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Then, next up on our agenda, we have listed case number 22-16-AN. It's an annexation for 1922 West Ardell Road. And back to Troy.
He's been busy.
We won't see him for 6 months now. So.
Commissioners, for the record, Troy Buchanan, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA, the CUNA Planning and Zoning Department Senior Planner. So the applications before you this application before you this evening requests annexation in order to bring in approximately 8.7 acres into the city of CUNA with an R2 zone. The application, the overall application, does include a lot line or a lot split, but that will go to City Council. They are only proposing annexation at this time. Parcel configuration will be discussed at the City Council meeting. Public Works can support the this annexation request as stated in the engineer's memo, and the Planning and Zoning Department agrees with the Public Works assessment. Staff has reviewed the proposed annexation for compliance with CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statutes, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan map. And should the CUNA and should the Commission recommend approval of the annexation, staff recommends that the applicant be subject to the proposed recommended conditions as outlined in the staff report. The applicant is present tonight, and they do have a small presentation, and I am here for questions you may have.
Are there any questions for Troy?
No.
Okay. Okay. Then please have the applicant come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Kelly Kerr with KM Engineering on behalf of the client. Our address is 5725 West Discovery Way in Boise. I'm happy to be before the commission today to bring forward this request for annexation. Hopefully this is a little bit easier one to digest. As Troy mentioned, we're coming in with a application to the top. Oh, sorry. There we go. Okay. Thank you. Annexation of a little bit over 8 acres off of West Ardell, outlined here with the intent for a future lot split so that the applicant can take two pieces off and give them one to each of their children to have homes, and they're building their own home on one of the pieces as well. So, as Troy stated, we're coming in with a low-density zoning, which is consistent with the future land use map. And with that, I'm happy to stand for any questions from the commission. Okay.
Are there any questions at this point?
No questions.
No, not now.
Thank you.
Okay. Then go ahead and open up the public testimony at 7:23. And I first have listed and marked to testify Anna. Is there anything you want to do?
Withdraw.
Okay. And then Enrique? Okay. Then next we have listed under neutral to testify Jonathan Dufree. You just state your name and address for the record, please.
Jonathan Durfee. I live at 2255 North 10 Mile Road, just south of the picture here. I didn't bring it. I do have a piece of paper, a couple of them for you guys just to see. I didn't have. Is that okay if I give you those?
I guess if there would have to be enough copies, and we'd have to be presented and marked as an exhibit prior to doing that.
Map right there.
Prior to this, or can it be read into the record, or how does that work?
Kelsey Briggs, City Attorney, White Peterson, 5700 East Franklin Road. So long as it is added into the record after this and approved in the future at the next meeting, it should be all right.
That's fine, or I can just walk over and point out the things on that map over there that I'm going to talk about. So.
there aren't sufficient copies, it needs to be circulated before we can proceed. However, there are time constraints, so I would defer to the procedural process followed by the commission and staff and what is doable at this point.
If you can...
There's a mouse right here. I can just point at
the mouse. Yeah, if you could do that, that would be perfect. Thank you. You can reset his time, too, please.
Can I go to a different page on your thing here? Did you have... Let me see. That might be the best one for me. That one, that'll work. Okay. I am a property owner in the McClure subdivision, which is just south of this. I reside at 2255 North 10 Mile. Like all McClure owners, we run and maintain our property as agricultural ground and are covered under the USDA and state agricultural exemptions. In order to properly maintain land, crops, and animals, we are granted approximately 60 days of water rights from CUNA Irrigation District. I use this allotment of water to grow hay fodder on my property, to sell and to feed animals that live in the pasture just south of my land. I've owned this property since 2016, and I've utilized the irrigation easement shown on the attached diagram, which isn't. So we have an irrigation district right here. There's a ditch that runs right along the top of this property. And we have an easement... Weir Pond, right, approximately right here for our subdivision, which goes into an underground pipe, which comes down and goes through this property and ends in a distribution box on the other side of our dell. So right through the middle of this property, and it's been there for as long as anyone can remember, probably 30 or 40 years. The irrigation pipe goes through parcel A and C. That would be on that different map. Parcel C has a small weir pond. It's water from the irrigation headgate, goes directly into pipes, and terminates in the diversion box. Every year, I go up into that area, into the easement, to clean out debris and vegetation in the weir pond to help maintain proper water flow for my water system. The only way to access the weir pond is down the irrigation ditch that flows, that follows the ditch and come in from the east side off of 10 Mile. I usually ride my ATV in to check with the headgate. But if there's a lot of stuff that needs removed, it's necessary to take a truck in there so you can take in tools and remove any sort of debris and stuff and garbage to get out of that location. There is also an easement right here that we've been using, which is a turnaround for large vehicles so that you can get in and out of that location because the ditch goes on from here. And so we don't drive on people's private property and damage things. We must turn around and head back out to 10 Mile from there. I'm asked that existing easements be maintained in any future plans and developments approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and if the current easements impede the property development, then I ask that the developers be required to allow for an equivalent or upgraded version of our current easement at some location on the property. I also ask that any changes required be paid for by the developers and that said changes be approved by all of the property owners of the McClure subdivision. I was upset because I learned about this 2 days ago because apparently I'm a few feet farther from this, even though I'm only seven. I border the exact border as him, but I didn't get informed of this meeting. Anyway, any loss of this access to water rights and these easements would be a large detriment to my family. It would cause me to lose tax exemption status and would greatly decrease my value and functionality of my property. Thank you guys very much, and also thank you for my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Then next listed under neutral, I have Jared Beck.
Jared Beck, 2180 North McClure Lane. I marked myself down as neutral. Just my main concern is the same thing, that we maintain that easement to receive our water from that ditch through the property. You know, if they plant trees over the top or put a house over the top and damage that water line, we have no longer have any way to water a field, which will definitely affect our livelihood. And so that's my concern. I would be in favor of, if we can get that in writing, that is protected. So I would go from neutral to in favor if we can get that in writing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And then next I have listed to testify in opposition, Mark. And I'm going to butcher your name, so.
You have a written testimony I want to submit to the commission and images, and I have copies. How many copies do you need?
Kelsey Briggs, for the record, city attorney, White Peterson, 5700 East Franklin Road. Again, anything that is not already in the packet that has been publicly accessible, the website, and that will not make its way to the approved minutes of the next meeting would have to be put onto the record and distributed among staff so that it could be witnessed by everybody. So if that answers your question.
Would he have to have enough copies for everybody present?
I have 8 copies.
Enough for everybody present?
Nope. Sorry. Okay, so I'll start with this. Your application that you have in front of you from staff is incomplete. So any decision tonight would be arbitrary and capricious. I'm against the rezone. I think it should be a higher density because the lot they're proposing, lot C, the whole lot is traversed with this easement, which relatively makes it undevelopable. There's been several anomalies with this. It doesn't qualify for a lot split. To split this parcel will be split number 4, which is not in compliance with the ordinance, and I have documentation to back that up. I've been dealing with this with K&M, who's constantly tried to mislead me, and she told me not to worry about the lot splits, that the city was specifically changing the ordinance to accommodate this application, which I found disturbing. I wasn't going to bring any of these up, but I'm mainly going to be concerned with the water. But since you have an incomplete application before you, because there's documents that are not in your application, that should be have made record of your application. I have it in this packet, and I guess that's all. I'll stand down. We'll just discuss it, I guess, through an appeal, since you don't want to take the documentation. Oh, by the way, it's Mark Pecanino, 2173 North 10 Mile Road. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Then next I have listed Shannon Jansen. Did I say that correctly?
Hello. Greetings, Chairman and Commissioners. Thank you for your time. For the record, I'm Shannon Jansen. I live at 2290 North McClure. So south of the development. I put opposed, but if we could get the official information about the easements for irrigation, it's a yes. So for me, first love what Enrique has done for our city, and thank him and his family for that. I'm just here to protect my irrigation access to my property. It is detrimental to the agriculture on my property, and that's why we have it. So. 1992 is when my house was built. We've used that water from that system since then. I have lived there since 2014. And so, again, we would like to see irrigation easements, including the rotation line and the weir pond, be marked in the proposed record of survey. So that's what we're asking for, is it to be corrected to show the easements for irrigation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. I don't see anybody else signed in to testify on this application. Is there anybody else here who would like to, who has not done so? Okay. Then you come forward, please, and sign in here. Whether you're in favor, neutral, or opposed. I feel you. Yes. So, thank you. And then if you just state your name and address for the record up there, we go.
Thanks.
I can
only
see about that. I planned it that way.
Robert Pearson. I live at 1767 Ardell Road. I'm probably the closest person to the Enrique and Anna, and I never got a notice. I learned about this by talking to Mark accidentally. Anyway, again, the gentleman sitting here, he made 2 points that I took exception to. First, he said that excess water ditches are never imposed upon. False. My ditch, Mark's ditch, John's ditch are all blocked in. The city of Cuna okayed a subdivision just to the south of John's place, and they filled the ditch in. So I know it can be done. It has been done. Second of all, I don't see what's so difficult about this. Basically, all we're asking for is this to be marked and noted on the plots for future reference so that this can be, you know, so there won't be any litigation in the future. We're trying to avoid a problem in the future, which I see no problem in. You know, it looks so simple to me. I don't understand the big problem with this. So I guess that's about all I've got to say. If you guys can fix this, please do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Then with that, if the applicant would come forward again, please.
Kelly Kerr, Kame Engineering, 5725 North Discovery Way, Boise. We have no intent of cutting anybody off from their irrigation water, consistent with state code, City of Cuna code, Boise Board of Control rules. You know, anything we do, we're going to comply with code. We have got some additional information from Boise Board of Control in terms of their actual easement width and things of that nature, which we will depict on the survey. So I hope we can assuage any concerns that the neighbors have. There's no intention of filling in or stopping delivery of anybody's water on this. With that, I'm happy to stand for any more questions.
I guess I've got just kind of a question on that. With what I could see from Mark's kind of images from here, that there's quite a bit going on that kind of right parcel.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to affect what the intent of development?
It's a big enough piece of property that, you know, we can certainly work around it. And, you know, and if necessary, lines that are crossing the property could be relocated. I don't know if that'll be necessary or not at this point. But, you know, we'll obviously comply again with, you know, Boise Board of Control and everybody else in terms of making sure water delivery is maintained.
Right, and I guess to clarify that this is merely an annexation.
That's part of what's...
Right, and that would have to be completely conditioned within future pieces and what's brought to...
City Council at a subsequent hearing, absolutely. Right. And we're going to be putting together some updated survey information for our record of survey for the City Council.
Yeah. Okay, so that will be done before City Council mm-hmm. meeting.
Absolutely.
Okay. And perfect. Thank you.
Again, maybe another point of clarification that the survey would include showing all those easements for the irrigation, because that's typically what's on those surveys. The surveys show easements. You can't build on those.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, that's why they're there. And just that's
correct. And a lot of these easements
for the people.
Yeah, when we initially did this, sorry to talk over you,
no.
PNC Chairman. Didn't show up in title, didn't show up in some of the other things. So we'll be updating accordingly.
Okay. That's all I had. I think that clarifies. I know Jim's got to have something.
Yeah, Jim has to have something. Jim just got done fighting with a developer for 2 years over impeding my irrigation water.
Mm-hmm.
The thing to remember is the city of Cuna has nothing to say about the delivery of irrigation water.
Mm-hmm.
Once it leaves the teed lateral, no one has anything to say about it. Basically, it's covered in the Idaho statutes that you will not impede the flow of water to downstream users. So I would suggest that you study up on irrigation, talk to the Board of Control, talk to everybody that's involved,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find that no one is going to have anything to say about it. Except the Idaho courts. I would think that the best thing to do would be to meet with all the property owners that are receiving water before you do anything and make sure everyone is on board with how you're going to keep from impeding their delivery of water.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you know, this is an annexation. You know, if the Contreras wish to divide their property and build homes for their children, there's no problem with that. Just be very careful on the irrigation.
No, and I completely agree with you, Commissioner. I've been doing this for 20 years and have been through the ringer on different issues with irrigation. And what I can tell you is that they want to be good neighbors. I mean, they're not. This isn't your regular developer. This is somebody who's going to live there, be living with their neighbors around them. So they certainly want to make sure that the irrigation water is protected.
Yeah, they've always been great community people, so that's what I expect of them. So yeah,
absolutely.
I agree. Irrigation has made good neighbors enemies.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I've been in the middle of that one before.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant at this time? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Then with that, I'll close the public testimony at 7:41, which brings up our discussion.
I think it's pretty straightforward. I think as long as, you know, we understand and convey to the neighbors that on the future pieces of this to make sure their voices are known, but, you know, this doesn't have a piece that we can condition anything to.
No.
But the future pieces will. But I think the intent is not to, never have I seen the Enrique Arana have any negative impact in the city. If anything, that's been the contrary. So I think it should be, the intent is to make sure the neighbors are taken care of. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay. I think it's a good annexation.
I agree. I think, you know, they're coming at the lowest zoning that we have for the city. I think the vast majority of the neighbors' concerns with the irrigation and making sure easements are shown up will happen when the survey comes in and it goes before city council, because those are items that are and must show up on a survey. So with that, I don't have any issues with the annexation, especially at an R2.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think it's great to see an R2. They could be selling it off, and we could be seeing our whatever. But I do want to make sure that the irrigation is preserved and their neighbors get the irrigation, because I totally understand that also. So.
Okay. And any other thoughts?
No, very good.
With that, Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval for 22-16-AN annexation for 1922 West Ardell Road to the City Council with the conditions as outlined in the staff report, and with the additional condition or understanding that the survey will be updated to show the proper easements and irrigation pieces that are to the City Council.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. And seeing nothing else under business items or anything else, I'd stand for a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Adjourned.
I can do a second. And I'm just like, listen, so intently listening to you. Oh, just so intently listening to your motion. It's like all of a sudden it's like second. I can say second.